Many things came to mind, but this seemed to sum it all up. As we've read in in Proverbs 31, verse 25 has to say that she is strong, right? She has character. It talks about what is it that a wife of a nobleman, what is it that the mother of children is supposed to exemplify? And so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, as we prepare to look at our message. So let's read together Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of a noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She works about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You know, being a mother is one of the highest callings that a woman can have. Scripture tells us that we must love, honor, and respect our mothers. It also tells us to bless her and to show appreciation for all that she does. There are lots of different gifts that you can buy for Mother's Day that express your love and gratitude. And this year, I would like to suggest that you consider giving a priceless gift that reassures her that she means everything. With the very fast pace of our culture and the endless distractions that come from daily life, we often miss the opportunity to say what matters most. And those expressions cultivate and affirm what is in our hearts, so don't let Mother's Day pass by without sharing those basic sentiments that are important to our relationship. There are a couple of things, suggestions that I have on ways that you might be able to tell and talk with your mother and to celebrate with her this year if you're able. You can talk to your mother about your successes or even your struggles. You could ask her to tell you more about the day that you came into her life. You can ask her about how old you were when some particular thing in your life, maybe when you walked, maybe when you talked. Maybe you could share with her how much you admire her and why. Maybe you could just take time to sit and talk about what's going on in the world. Maybe you could ask your mother to write something down so that you could see some of those memories later when they're gone. Thank her for whatever it is, whatever that list of things would be that they've done or that you've taken for granted for so many months or many years. And the last thing, the best thing I think is I think back about what the Bible would teach us to do and to have a good relationship and to celebrate Mother's Day is to tell them that you love them no matter what. Because one of the things that I remember from my mother was her telling me how many times she was unworthy to be a mother. How many times she struggled with decisions that she had to make. And it meant a lot when we were able to tell her how much we loved her, even though maybe things didn't go exactly the way that they should have. These things that I'm mentioning to you, obviously you need to have a parent, a mother that's alive. Many of us, our mothers have already passed over to heaven. I'm one of those. My mom and my grandmother, they're gone. They're in heaven with the Lord today. And they're waiting for me to be there, and I will be reunited with them again someday soon. But the point is that mothers have so much importance in our life. They touch everything about who we are. And if they're still alive, they're still continuing to mold us. And if they've passed, they're still continuing to mold us also. And so as I was thinking about just how important mothers are, I came upon Greta has been leading the Thrive Bible study. And I was telling her a little bit about where I wanted my message to go this week. And so she pointed out to me one of the lessons that the ladies have been doing in Thrive is from 2 Timothy. And it had to do with Paul's letter to Timothy, telling him that he needed to get the courage to go out and to continue on the promise and the love that he needed to have for these people, and that he needed to have faith in himself, that he needed to have faith in the will of God and the love of God. And that he had been instilled with that faith through the women, his mother, his grandmother, in his life. And so I want us to look at 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I think about my own life. I think about the call that came on my life and the fact that my mother was sitting in the pew beside of me at Enon Baptist Church when the preacher was talking about those who were called into ministry. My mom was sitting there beside of me, my grandmother on the other side. And they both looked at me as the preacher was talking about. At 7, 8 years old, they're looking at me. And I remember those looks right now that send the chills through me as I just think about the importance of where that was and where I would end up. But my mom and my grandmother, just as Timothy's mom and grandmother did, instilled an understanding of the faith and the love of God that was necessary to be a good human being, but obviously even more to go on to be an apostle, to go on to be a minister of the gospel. That doesn't mean that they were perfect. What it means is that they instilled the faith and the love of God that they had in their own lives in me as a child. That's the greatest gift that our parents, that our mothers can give to us. And they demonstrate the love of Christ every day by the compassion and the love and the faith that they have in us, the trust that they have that we're going to do what is right. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, he goes on to talk about this. And he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are available and able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. My mother and my grandmother, my grandparents actually, on my dad's side and my mom's, instilled in me an understanding of the faith that I needed to have in Jesus Christ, because they were strong. I posted something on Facebook yesterday, and completely overwhelming our lives. It's causing us to do so many things that we've had to give up. But, you know, as you think back of those who were born in the 1900s, like my grandmother and my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my grandmother, all those older folks in our lives, some of which you are lucky enough and blessed enough to have still in your life, but mine are gone. But I think back on what they had to really sacrifice, and then I think about what this is doing to me. Essentially, I'm being asked to sit at home on my couch and watch television. I'm not being called to go fight a war in another place. I'm not being called to sell off everything that I have in order to be able to support a war effort. I still have plenty of food in my refrigerator. My goodness, you guys have seen the stuff that Greta is fixing in our house. I've gained 10 pounds since this started. So I'm not sacrificing anything like what our parents did. And neither are you. My mom raised my sister, stepsister, and my three brothers. Five of us. Took care of her mom. My stepdad worked at a minimum wage job to take care of all of us. They made sacrifice. What I'm doing today has nothing in comparison to what my grandparents had to give up, what Christ had to give up. None of that. None of that. We celebrate our mothers today. We celebrate the gift of life that was given to us by them. We celebrate the contributions that they've made to our lives. We celebrate the gift that they have given to our culture through their children, us, who have grown into adulthood. If nothing else, it's a day that we ought to be sitting down and saying, "Thanks, Mom, just for putting up with me." There was a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon that I remember as I'm seeing here before you. And essentially, it had Calvin and his brothers playing, you know, war. And so they were shooting, and they shot the mom. And she, of course, died and laid there on the floor, and she wouldn't get up. And, of course, the sister or another lady, another mother, came by and said, "Oh, you're just pretending." And she told the other mother, "Stop, don't tell the kids, because this is the first peace that I've had all day long." How many times did your mother feel like that? How many times? Mothers are to be thankful, are to be thanked for their tenacious love. You know, I'm not a very good card person. I have trouble sometimes taking the time to actually read some of them. And I remember one year I gave my mom a sympathy card instead of giving her a Mother's Day card. But you know, even that card has a lot and had a lot of meaning to my mother. Because we have a lot to be thankful for. And she probably felt like we had a lot to be, you know, sympathetic with her for too. Because of putting up with me. You know, as I said, mothers are to be thanked for their tenacious love. She loves us. They love us through everything. Looking at my wife and seeing how things have went over the last 20-some years that we've been together, almost 20 years that we have our daughters that we adopted. We love our children. She loves our children through everything. You know, sick rooms wear fathers out a lot more quickly than they wear mothers out. I don't have the patience that my wife has. Mothers are to be thanked for the contributions they made on our lives. Mary probably had more of an impact on Jesus than any other human being. Mary, this mother who, even at the cross, he saw it in his human nature to take care of his mother. You know, mothers are also a key to us being able to understand important people in our lives, people like Abraham Lincoln, people like John Wesley, we can't understand who they are without understanding their motives or understanding their backgrounds of where they come. Because they're always in our subconscious, even when they're gone. You cannot do anything in your life and not hear your mother's voice in the back of your head telling you whether that's a good idea or bad. Our mothers are the subconscious motivating force behind a lot of the things that we do in our lives. They have the highest hopes for each of us, but only extending love to us when we mess up. They're the heartbeat of God. Because he said, neither do I condemn you, nor do I not love you. Go and sin no more. Think about your mom. All of this leads to a special group of people that God loves and that gives special powers to. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow in Deuteronomy, even in the Old Testament. In James, he says, religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If God has a special heart for widows and orphans, he expects us to express that heart as well. I pray for all of the single mothers and those who are faced with difficult challenges. In today's world, we have a lot of grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. Single mothers and women are faced with difficult challenges. Finances are often more difficult. 46% of all children living with a single mother are considered poor, compared with 9% of children living with two parents. Out of the 5.7 million women who were due to receive child support in 1999, and this is an older statistic, only half received the full support that they were determined to be owed. And 25% receive nothing. And they're out here raising children. Parenting is more difficult in 2020 today than it has ever been. Time management is more difficult. Earning a living is more difficult. And then you throw in a pandemic and, you know, now we're worried about fixing meals and caring for our children and helping with homework and keeping everything going and satisfying all the needs that we see. So we as a church have an obligation to see how strong our mothers are, but also to strengthen them by our prayers and by our love. This Mother's Day, I ask that you take special time to demonstrate love to the mothers of our church. You know, there are many mothers who don't have any children. You know what I'm talking about. There are many women who sit in these pews week after week who don't have children that still look after us, who care for us just as our mothers did. Because a woman is strong if they believe in God. A woman who is a believer will demonstrate and take on the strength of God in her life. So we're thankful for that this Mother's Day. As we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, Happy Our Home When God Is There, number 453. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know the love that of a mother that has known the Lord, that has demonstrated and instilled that faith in God, then I ask that you pray that he would come and live in your heart. You see, in order to receive him, all you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner. You have to ask him to forgive your sin. You have to acknowledge that he lived and died and rose again. And you have to turn away from things that are separating you from from him, from the sin in your life. If you'll do those things, if you'll pray that prayer, God will come in and he will be faithful. He will come into your life and he will give you the strength and the courage that you need to live a life that's pleasing to him. As we stand to sing this hymn together.
Thank you.